Special relationships and transatlantic correspondence galore. It's time for another installment of New York Real Talk on Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting.
Well, there you have it. I outlie. I think that's how it's pronounced. Well, at least that's how it seems to be pronounced, but it's particularly weird in its own magical way. Okay, why are we actually going to New York Real Talk with respect to I outlie. And why am I chundering on at this particular moment in time, as opposed to simply saying, well, it's time for Pamela Sue Mann to actually work through the whole process? Well, we did think about Pamela actually interviewing herself, which is an interesting line, because she'd probably get some sensible answers then. However, we have decided to actually take a different line. She is with us, of course, singer, songwriter, pianist, producer, and poet. Of course, the awesome Pamela Sue Mann. How are you, Pamela?
I'm hunky dory.
That's
How
good.
are you?
And we've also got the equally awesome, in so many ways, Paul Murphy, of course, also PX Murphy, because as we identified on his debut in New York Real Talk, X quite literally marks the spot. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well, Alex. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear too well. Oh, you can. Okay, good. Just have to check. It seems that every time you use one of these apps, it suggests that you download the latest version and then you've got to reset all your preferences again. So it's good that we're here.
Listen, this is what artificial intelligence does to keep us pathetic little organic life forms in order. We should actually just rest, deal with it, and move on. That's the official line.
Absolutely. Yeah, good.
Already, Phil Herdwood, known to Pamela and myself, and indeed Jessica Burtis, has actually said, a majestic and brilliant piece of art. Fabulous melody, profound and thoughtful lyrics, and beautifully sung. The orchestration is stunning. We're referring, of course, to I Outlie. Jessica, you haven't heard this as yet, but I think you trust Philip Herdwood, do you not?
I do. And from the excerpt that I was able to listen to, I think he is completely correct.
So we might as well pack the interview up now then and sort of go home and sort of forget the rest of New York Real Talk and just say, that's it, done and dusted. Last word left with Philip Herdwood. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Pamela. Of course, we're not going to do that. The listeners tuned in for more than just listening to the whole thing. They want more New York Real Talk. Jessica, who would you like to speak to first, Paul Murphy or Pamela, in terms of this latest creative adventure, which, as we said, released this very day, depending on when you're listening to it, of course. I mean, this very day might well be the time where in Hiroshima, the various great and the good G7 members are getting together. Or indeed, whichever way in the future you're listening to, certainly it has been released on the 19th of May, 2023. So Jessica, I Outlie, the debut single by ambient electronic duo Tianga Tianga. That's collectively Tianga Tianga with Pamela and Paul. Go, Jessica.
Yeah, so I'd love to put this question to the both of you, but I think one of the first things that I noticed about the song was the title, I Outlie, was spelled lie, and I was curious about how you came up with that title and what it means for both of you.
I think Pam should take this one.
Well, first I have to say, I know people can't necessarily see this yet, but Paul is in front of what seems to be the Aurora Borealis.
That's correct.
And yet there's a cityscape in the background, so I am quite confused. But yet, last I heard, he was somewhere in the wilds of Ireland. So I'm quite confused as to where he really is. But he actually might be somewhere. He might have taken a TARDIS somewhere. And God only knows, you know, what time period or planet, you know, he actually is, you know, he's broadcasting from. Who knows? I Outlie, yeah, you know, Jessica, I have to say, and I know you are a writer as well, I think what happens over time is that the more the writer trusts what's coming out, they don't think about it. And sometimes it's surprise about the combination of words that come out and the usage of the words. So in other words, I Outlie is not, I don't think it's usually used as a verb, but you know, you don't think of like, you know, I outlie. I do this thing that's an action word, but we think of outlier.
I thought originally, Pamela, that it was something like I Robot or I Claudius, and there was a character called Ms. or Mr. Outlie that we were going to hear about. I was completely wrong. I'll just go back to actually matching my backgrounds with Paul.
No, actually. Yeah. That's great. The commonality in terms of that is basically those times in our lives where we sort of imagine this thing that we're doing. And I mean, I think writers do that a lot. We don't necessarily do it, but we're imagining it. So The concept is basically when you imagine yourself stepping out of your life, going into a fictional life that is not your own, but in your imagination is, that is probably the act of outlying, I guess. And that's really, it just came out. It wasn't a cerebral thing. It really just came out from the wilds of the subconscious into this place. So I outline, and then it became a chorus. And that's all I can say. I mean, lyrically, that's all I can say.
Well, can I say, when you first sang the thing to me, Pam actually sent me this idea. She just recorded on her iPhone, and just the emotion of it just really got me. And we actually, believe it or not, two or three of the lines in the final recording are the original lines as she sung them on her iPhone, because it just captured such a beautiful feeling. But The Outlier, I mean, most, there are a lot of really interesting artists who, they really are outliers. An outlier, we've all come across that term used in that sense, the outlier, somebody who just slightly outside the norm, who just can, you can view from, you can see things from the outside. I believe in a way that most artists are outliers, but for somebody to come up with the idea of actively turning it into a verb, that completely, that just blew me away when I first heard it, and I said, we've got to do this. So we did.
And what if it's like mainly the inspiration for the sound? Because listening to it, it's such an ethereal song. And I feel like the photo chosen is so well, just like it captures the atmosphere that the song has, where it's both of you and it's a bit green and it looks kind of dreamy. So I was very curious about how you kind of thought of it sonically.
Wow.
Well, yes, I think that the photo came up was after we were mixing and matching ideas. We were trying to capture what we were already working on musically. But Pam wanted a very vast soundscape. You know, as it goes towards the end of the song, you can feel the whole thing drifting off into another universe. I wanted to put in that warm hug that said, you know, there's a big string line and it sort of grooves into the, there's a very beautiful line that, just the line out, I outline that Pam sings and she harmonizes with herself and multi-tracks. And so we kind of had this, I guess the idea was to be very visual, because we both love visualizing what a different sequence is doing. And we tried to capture that in the photograph. So we were just looking at, you know, you could do all these posy photographs and different, and nothing seemed to work. So they're just completely too, almost deadpan, sort of like photographs of us both observing something from outside. And we had them in all sorts of multicolors first. And then we just thought, no, it's just all too much. So we just took it back and ended up with a kind of a sepia. And the expressions, it just seemed to, it definitely reflected the mood that we'd managed to create with the song.
That's when we came up with cinemachanga, this sort of term, which we're not really sure what it's becoming, but that it was very important for us to tell the story of the song as if it were a film, although with sound. So we really, 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 we slaved over capturing sonically the feeling of the character as they're moving through the song, and how they're feeling and where they are and the things that are happening musically. Okay, it doesn't stay still. It's really linear. It's really like this is happening and this is a story unfolding sonically. Some people call it a tone poem, but we have it with lyrics as well. So carrying on from that, I think as Changa Changa, which is a project which is becoming dearer and dearer to both of our hearts, is really, it's all the senses together. So every aspect of it, whether it's visual or sonic, needs to, like people years and years and years ago used to make concept albums. And a really good example of that is Pink Floyd, where you just step inside and you were immersed in this world. Peter Gabriel was really good at that too. And you're literally in the world. You're in, you know, like a snow globe, and that's your world. And I think for us, all the songs that we have worked on thus far, it's like we're stepping inside this little globe, and that is the concept, that is the world. And so we want to really, it's very important for both of us as sculptors, sonic sculptors, lyrical sculptors, visual sculptors, to hopefully present that world that we're imagining collectively. We talk a lot about it. We talk a lot about that. We probably spend as much time talking about that as we do working on the music. So it's very important to us to give a very strong world.
Yeah, I love how you said that blending of the senses, because this song itself is very synesthetic in that you can almost see, like you're saying, the sound, where there is so much depth visually to the song. And that's a very interesting thing to find in music, I think. It makes it feel very cinematic and very epic. So I think that comes across so well.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah, that's, I'm really, really pleased that you say that, because that is definitely what we're going for. Like, going back to what Pam was saying about the concept albums and things like that, I loved all that kind of stuff, still do, obviously. But these days, it's almost like there's a move towards getting that whole world into 3, 4, 5 minutes, because people, you know, they won't listen to your whole concept album. But I think that's a good challenge in itself, that you can still make something that communicates immediately, but also creates lots of space. So you're trying to, in a way, do in 3 or 4 minutes what we used to, when I say we, I didn't produce any major concept albums. Well, a couple of the Electric Penguins moments were a bit drawn out, all right, but yeah, we're happy with sort of getting our concept singles.
There you go. It's very 2023 concept single.
Yeah.
And Paul, not that I want to worry you, but most research suggests that actually you're quite excessive in actually saying that you have 3 to 4 minutes to work with. Most TikToks, you're looking at 90 seconds. If you don't get that tune in 90 seconds, I'm afraid it's lost forever, apparently, according to the attention deficit of most goldfish. But never mind.
You're absolutely right. In fact, funnily enough, that we've done a lyric video, which I'm really, really happy with. But as Pam and I found out earlier, well, they will only let you put up 60 seconds on your Facebook or your Instagram. So what I was doing just before I came on this, I was trying to edit down an interesting 60 seconds worth, because that is the world we live in. Now, luckily, I do come from history of, I've worked in the advertising industry for many years, so everything had to happen in 20 to 30 seconds. So it's not alien to me. I always think it's a shame. Like when I used to produce, I had a couple of ads that were actually quite good. I mean, most ads are just
ads.
Oh,
come now, Paul. You had lots of them that were very good. We featured some of the tracks on your debut for New York Real Talk.
We did indeed. But I used to try and push them for, in the 90s, depending on how big the client was, occasionally you get one who would go the whole 60 seconds. And that was like a concept album in advertising. Not many would do that. Not many had the budget to do that. But so I can definitely, I can do it, but I sort of feel that there's an emotional
contract. You're selling your soul, Paul. You need to sort of keep the soul together.
Well, that's the thing, you see, to me, that like I'm begrudgingly going down to 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes. In fact, I would happily, oh, by the way, we have an instrumental version there as well, just in case 4 minutes isn't long enough for you. I really feel you need the whole 8. So when you finish listening to the first track, you can just let your Spotify drift on to the instrumental version, and then you can go back to the other one again. You can get a complete side of an album out of it.
Because if you think about it, I mean, that might be the trend of where society is going as a whole, but there are so many people young of all ages, who are still wanting to immerse themselves in, you know, maybe a two-sided vinyl, you know, or maybe a two-hour record if it's good enough to hold their attention. You know, and because, you know, with the whole term of indie or alternative, I mean, we happen to be on an incredible record label, which is our debut on this label, but Paul has been on this label with Electric Penguins and other projects called Bohemia Records. They're really cool. They didn't dictate anything to us, like, you know, you must do it this way, you must do it that way. So honestly, I think when people make music, you just make it the way you want to make it. You don't want to bore people. And that's the thing with a really long song. You know, if you've got 20 choruses and two bridges and 16 verses, I know that Bob Dylan has done many, many, many verses. It's almost like a novel told in song. But unless you're that kind of a bard, we're really, really committed to doing that. You know, I think that, I don't think that we could be constrained by what we are being dictated by TikTok or sort of like do it this because nobody's going to listen. However, we do want people to hear it. So it's nice if you can be flexible. Like Paul is such a genius at saying, oh, I want to extrapolate a certain amount of time, and he can do it. I would probably pick the wrong amount. I picked the outro because I love outros. Outro is not a song. It's like a vibe. You're just kind of vibing out. You could be there for hours with an outro. But it's really not something that if you want to pack a punch, you want to give them something that has the most excitement in a short period of time. Thank God Paul could do that, because that is not my strong suit at all in any way. We're just happy if people listen to it and maybe even might play it again, you know.
Jessica, as the youngest person on this team, Pamela obviously sounding like the ancient revered wisdom of the ages being percolated through the whole sequence there, and likewise Paul from the point of view of the system. How do you consume your music? I mean, is it a case of, I'm literally, if it doesn't grab me in the first 20 seconds, that's it, I'm on? Because I know you're a regular contributor, clearly, to some of the musicians that we have on Midweek Drive Live and so on. So I mean, last week, of course, we featured the fantastic work of one of LA's premier violinists with May and her music and interpretation of the art, etc. So your thoughts, please, Jessica.
Yeah, I think I tend to be that person who will, if I find a song I really like, I will listen to it over and over and over and over for days until I'm a little bit tired of it. And then I'll listen to something else and then I come back to it. So it's, yes, whenever I find someone else who does that, I know exactly how they feel. But I feel like the music industry is changing quite a bit with the influence of TikTok. And because so often if I have the radio on, it's songs that were popular on TikTok. So I think that's very interesting. But I think TikTok and a lot of social media that's popularizing quite a lot of songs right now is very visual based as well. And I think people love having that visual atmosphere where they create concept videos that match a song, and then it makes the song very popular, and then people go and listen to the music. So I think I've found a few songs because of social media, making me curious to hear the whole thing, since you only get a snippet with clips.
So it's a kind of gateway to a greater experience. So I suppose, in a sense, you could say, Sir Maya Jasper White was talking about that with the music ensemble at Celestina. But we're here to obviously reflect on the processes of the fabulous work that's been going into Paul and Pamela's fantastic thing. I've got to actually, again, just for the benefit of the completist, or maybe it's just the pedant in me from that perspective, I believe that pronunciation is Chenga Chenga, because it obviously is written like Tianga Tianga. So explain, please, Pamela, where from the mystical worlds of etymology, linguistically speaking, does Chenga Chenga actually look like Tianga Tianga?
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, having Jessica here is wonderful because she has been immersed in all things Irish for the past while. Now, I couldn't speak to this at all with any kind of intelligence, so I'm gonna throw the medicine ball, as it were, over to Paul to explain. How did we even come up? You had some ideas for some names, but Chenga Chenga is like a magic little.
We were talking. We were discussing, words and meanings, and the meanings beyond the meanings that poets get. You know, when you turn outlay is a good example, using it as a verb. So Chenga. It is pronounced like Changa. It's an Irish word. It's in the Irish language. It means literally language. And Chenga Chenga means language. That's exactly what it means. So having an amount of Gaelic myself, being from Ireland, we were discussing it. What happened? We were doing a session in Dublin last. Pam was over for a brief visit.
So fun, yeah. Jessica, weren't there yet, but we were in it was in July, and we went out to some crazy studio, like an industrial city in the middle of
It was really bizarre, but it was brilliant.
I was getting lost trying to go to the get to the bathroom, because it was like a little maze of a crazy place where you can go and basically bring your album, and there's lots of little pods and studios you can record, and velvet curtains. It was really fun.
Yeah, they have they're called Pirate Studios, and they actually have, I think they originate somewhere in London, really. They have a complex somewhere in London. They got one in New York. They got one in Dublin. They basically just go to these little cheap industrial estates and set up these studio complexes. And we thought we were stuck for somewhere to go. And somebody gave me a heads up and thought, right, I know where we just booked it. We turned up at the door, dialed in a code, and in we went and found ourselves in this amazing
pop-up studio.
Yes. So they have rehearsal studios, recording studios, and you just basically go in, you've booked it, paid for it online, you go in, dial the number and open the reserved studio, and then you go with your equipment and your bits and pieces. And then that was our first sort of get together and, right, what are we going to do with this? We had a couple of songs we were already talking about. The Changa thing then came in the course of that conversation, I don't know. And I was kind of thinking, well, it sounds a bit like a guitar, doesn't it? Like going Changa, Changa. And because I know, and Pam, I was going to actually call it the C-H-A-N-G thing. And Pam immediately picked up, no, it's the original meaning, the Irish language thing works. So yeah, I'm glad we did that.
She's very into authenticity, I found, Pamela Suman. She likes her authenticity.
Thank you so much. No, it was crazy. And what was really, really fun about that session was Paul pulled up a microphone because he had some things he had been working on, some beautiful pieces, which we will be releasing very soon. And all of a sudden, like the birth of the character singer within me started coming out. I mean, these weird voices, like all these maybe latent parts of my personality that I'm not able to have in normal life. And, you know, I was telling him about this opera lady that suddenly kind of visits.
Oh, yeah.
And she comes out and she's ridiculous. And anytime I ever did her in any context, the people involved would be like, no. But Paul has celebrated that. And so he was what else have you got? So all these crazy characters, I guess they're probably latently schizophrenic parts of my personality, came out in vocally, and it was so fun. And he was just like, do another one, what else do you have, you know? And all the characters came out and they all just sort of exposed themselves, you know, and it was just so fun. And then it was over and we had to go, and that was very sad. But so we started just like sending things back and forth when I came back to New York, and very quickly the project grew because we're both kind of insane. We have these crazy wild imaginations, and we just found there was no shortage of ideas, there was no shortage of concept, and actually getting these things done. And Changa Changa wound up being quite epic. It was almost like a Peter Gabriel record, because, you know, before we know it, we have this massive, huge track, and we have to figure out what's there and how do we mold and sculpt our world from this. And it's just been so, it's just the beginning, really. It's so fun.
Jessica, it would seem to me that both Paul and Pamela are probably the most dangerous thing to actually do would be to provide them with boiled peanuts and sweet tea. But I don't know if you want to ask the question in any case. I mean, it could creatively just blow the roof off the whole range of things there, given that Paul obviously has written jingles for peanuts in any case in New York.
Yeah. It's always a relevant question. How much do you both know about boiled peanuts? And are you fans by chance?
Boiled peanuts.
Doesn't sound very appetizing, but they are good, right?
They are. They're amazing. They sound so weird. Yes. Why? Who looks at a peanut and thinks it needs to be boiled? But it is incredible. It's one of the southern snacks that's just so salty and just so good, and you get it in like paper packages. It's excellent.
Now, do you make them in your own kitchen? Like, can you boil them yourselves? Or is there a certain kind of magic that happens that only the people that make it professionally know how to do, and you just buy them?
Yeah, you definitely can make them on your own. The store-bought ones are never the way to go. There's always the people that make it best are the ones who sell it at like semi-shady looking roadside little places, little stands. They will always have the best boiled peanuts. My grandmother used to boil hers in a cauldron outside her house. Just a vat of peanuts. So you should definitely try them.
So would you just go and buy, go down to a store and just buy raw peanuts and boil them?
Yeah, you just take raw peanuts, raw whole peanuts, still in the shell, and you boil them inside the shell with lots of salt.
In the shell.
Yes, and it's so good.
Wow, that's very punk rock.
Well, I love peanuts, so yeah, I'll go for that. I'll try it.
I think that Alex was talking about sweet tea, or he was about to, but I have to tell you, there were some times recently where I needed a lot of energy, and I'd already had two coffees, and I refused to take the kind of drugs that give you energy. So I took it upon myself to have some Barry's tea, which is Irish, right? But that wasn't enough because the tea needed to somehow be sweet. And did you know? Now, this is not traditional sweet tea, I don't think, because I used honey, because raw local honey, if you have allergies from a change of season, local raw honey is so helpful in helping you with your allergies. So I put a big, huge teaspoon of the raw local honey into the Barry's tea, and I drank it, and I thought of you, Jessica. I thought, I'm having sweet tea, and this is great. And I have plenty of energy. I had no allergies. I went out and faced the day.
That's fantastic. The sweet tea and the honey combination sounds like a really good one. That's so nice. I'll have to try it.
So good.
You see, Paul, this is genuine rock and roll when we actually move on to the boiled peanuts and sweet tea discussion and conversation. Perhaps possibly another Chenga Chenga number could actually just focus on the nutritional value of the music.
Yeah, I suppose. Well,
it's like Electric Penguins, but a stage further up.
Yeah, yeah. Penguin bars, that's a thing, isn't it?
No.
I don't know if it's a thing. I don't think it's a thing in America, but I think...
I know
we have them.
Absolutely vital. I mean, if you don't pick up a penguin...
Exactly, that's...
Frankly, yeah. It's not worth living. In fact, Jessica, have you availed yourself when you've been over in Britain... or indeed in Ireland, as you are now, of the penguin bar?
Oh, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is this? I don't know.
Is it made of penguin?
No, thankfully, no. I promise I'm fully vegetarian. That would be way beyond the pale for me. But no, penguins, it's an old tradition. And there was a wonderful ad, which Alex will remember, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was known for having a stutter. So they used his stutter as part of the ad. He was a kind of a TV personality at the time.
Norman Collier, perhaps.
Was that who it was?
Well, he also had roses growing on you.
But pick up a penguin, and he would double on his piece. And that was not one of my ads. That was even before my time, but I was still here, as in I was a bit too young to be making those kind of things. But
What is a penguin bar? Please tell everyone, because now we're confused. Is it vegetarian penguin?
It's chocolate and biscuit. That's all. I think there's some toffee in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a milk chocolate bar filled with biscuit and chocolate cream, produced by McVitie's in Stockport. So there we are. That's the key sort of area. I mean, you can't get much more British than actually being produced in Stockport for that whole side of things there. And I'm amazed. I mean, you'd be saying you haven't heard of Eccles cakes or other sort of delights in future scenarios here. Still, that's, I suppose, the whole asset of... New York Real Talk, we actually managed to address things such as penguin bars, etc. Incidentally, Paul, do you actually, within the electric penguin scenario, do you ever actually sort of consider employing the penguin bar as a way of actually adding to the essence of the production?
No, the short answer. Not really.
That's okay. It's understandable. But the fact of the matter is that any one of those folk would clearly actually want to actually have the actual penguin bar to actually help on the whole thing. Okay, we've got a little bit off piece, but that's okay because it's been featuring Chenga Chenga. Pamela, where can people actually access this fantastic I Outlie from now that it's actually been released into the world like a flock of penguins paddling across the Arctic oceans, or the Antarctic at least?
Well, we've been busy little bees, and I have to say kudos to Paul for learning all sorts of new things to do to make our music available in many shapes and sizes and forms. But it's I'm gonna ask Paul, because I talked to him about this, because there are many places where you can listen to us, but I feel like I'm gonna scatter us all over and I'm gonna confuse everyone, and when they're done, they're not even gonna want, like, they're not gonna know how to spell Changa Changa, and they're not gonna know where to go. So Paul, can you tell us where we can find Changa Changa? First release, I outline.
Okay, well, most people, I think the most popular one would be Spotify. So we're on Spotify. Yes, just about literally as of this morning. We're on Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, Amazon Music. They have a thing, because basically the Bohemia have what they call an amalgamator. Mostly record companies are tied up with them. And they put it into their little, when they do an upload, these people throw it on literally every platform. So whatever music platforms are out there, you will find it on. Over the next couple of, there's a couple of them will take a couple of days to come online, but I know it's on Spotify at the moment. Apple Music with their very high standards, but I don't know how much. Is Spotify the most popular? Anybody know?
I think it is. It's like, okay, I don't know, Jessica, do people go on Bandcamp? Because I think for artists,
oh, Bandcamp,
whether they're signed or whether they're independent, like, for example, Elizabeth Fraser of Cocteau Twins, they did a release, a phenomenal release last year. I didn't even know about it. Maybe it was, yeah, it was last year, I think. And it's on Bandcamp. And so Bandcamp is a place where if somebody likes the band or the music, they can give them, they can pay for the download, or they can patronize the artist. Not that I'm suggesting that anyone do that, although if they want to, they can. You know, you could say, oh, I'm going to give this band $30 because I love their music and I want them to make more, and they're starving artists, like the old-fashioned patron thing. So I think Bandcamp's a great platform for indie artists.
And we're there, yes, because that was another one of the little adventures.
And
we
have a website. We have a website now and a YouTube.
We do.
We have an Instagram channel, do we?
Well, as of this morning, I put that together, but we do have a website, and we have changachanga.com, which is, if you go there, you'll find all the links to Pam and to myself and to the song and to the Bandcamp. So that pretty well, that's the simplest thing. Just go to changachanga.com.
Not a ch. So it's T-E-A-N-G-A.
Effortless, you know, clearly that's all we need to do. In fact, you know, we should be pulling the whole details up from now to actually see that Changa Changa is a collaboration between Pamela Suman and PX Murphy. PX, because he's on TX. There we are, TX or PX. Sorry. I Outlie, of course, first release, and you can have the other connections with respect to Changa Changa, which is actually there, and exclusive license to Bohemia Records. Which is wonderful from that point of view, and will continue to take us through a whole range of other bits and pieces. Well, I feel privileged to have actually been part of a New York Real Talk, which has focused introspectively on the joys of Pamela Suman and Paul X. Murphy back, of course, on board from that point of view. I feel in many ways we can also add the thing that England is home to the world's finest penguin bars, as well as pickles, but let's not go down that route. Jessica, it falls to you as the stand-in in many ways for Pamela Suman to actually throw both questions to Pamela Suman and Paul X. Murphy. So, Jessica, whomever you wish to go to first, over to you.
Okay, it's been a little bit since I was able to join on New York Real Talk, so I'm going to try and do my best. But Miss Pamela, coming to you first, have you had a good time, and will you come back again?
This is so meta. I love it. number one, yes. Number two, yeah, I think I have to.
I think you must be here.
Jessica, I love the idea of you being a sometimes presenter on. That's a brilliant idea. And would you accept this position?
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to.
And to Paul, then, say two questions, Jess.
Yes, have you had a good time and will you come back again?
I certainly have, and I hope to be back again sometime in the future, or in the not too distant future, actually, with Pam and the next release from Changa Changa. But I also will hopefully at that stage be able to report on my peanut boiling. So,
Yes.
yes.
Snacks for music making.
Which keeps the whole
Excellent.
line going perfectly, from pickles to penguin bars to peanut boiling. It's part of the Pamela Suman approach.
Lots of peas around here.
Well, that's why we have Paul with us, obviously. So it's a perfect package in so many perfect ways. Okay, that's a wrap for today. We're gonna leave. It's not a wrap completely because we're gonna have another reprise of the Changa Changa magic. So, Pamela, would you like to introduce this as we head off into the wild blue yonder of another edition of New York Real Talk? Or perhaps Jessica, maybe you should actually introduce Pamela and Paul in the artistic guise of Changa Changa, with, of course, I Outlie. Over to you, Jessica.
Yes, coming up, this is from the new duo Changa Changa, I Outlie.
On mostly gone.